Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, Mary.
This is Mary Blake, your host, for Wisdom of Ada Marie, the Golden Oracle. Ada Marie is one of the most sought-after experts in dream interpretation. Throughout her long career as seer, healer, spiritual counselor, she's proven the value of dreams in many, many ways. Can spirit reach us in dreams when in waking moments we just can't hear? What about prescient dreams? Listen, and you just might learn more about this remarkable aspect of our spiritual life. And, Maida Marie, I'm just going to let you tell us whatever you can, whatever you want to.
Well, you know, there are so many. I taught dream classes in my 26 years. Every 2 years, I taught another series of dream classes because the classes I taught people how to read an aura, how to, relax, how to go forward, how to listen to their own voice of their spiritual guides. And I did all those things. And amazingly enough, one of the ladies who had left and hadn't seen her in a number of years called me up and said to me, you know, I had a dream. They were letting down a beautiful white house from the sky. It was coming down on a long chain to me. I said, oh, that's interesting. You're going to receive a new car. And she said, oh, really? I said, well, that's what it represents because it's in the dream pattern. And let me know what happens, what you do get. But you're going to get something very special. Well, about a week later, she called me up and she said, my aunt left me her brand new Mercedes. It's white. I said, well, that was your dream. And she laughed, and she still has it, I guess, so that's a good thing. Another time, a lady called up, and she said, I'm on a canoe, and I'm going down the river, the lake, the stream. First it's a stream, and then it's like a river, and now I think I'm on a lake. And I said, okay, what happened in the dream? And she said, well, she said, I am just going down the river on this lake in this canoe. I said, are you rowing the canoe or is the water pushing the canoe? And she said, I don't remember seeing any oars. I said, well, then you're probably going with the current. So is your current taking you to a new position or a new, an upgrade in your job? Are you being promoted in some way or another? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I'm up for a promotion, but I said, you're going to get it, but it's going to be more than you expect, and you better be sure you're ready to handle it. So a week later, she called me, and she said, they made me the head of my part of the organization. And she said, and I was flabbergasted, and I'm not sure I'm ready to handle it, but I'm trying. I said, just one day at a time, 1 minute of 1 hour, one day at a time, and somebody older will get in there and they will assist you. And she's still with the company today, and now she's moved up to a bigger position. So the dream was telling her, you know, that she was prepared to make this change, but when she made it, she didn't think she was prepared, so people came forward to help her, and that was a wonderful dream. Mm-hmm. So whenever you dream of a baby, you know, you're going to have a baby, you're either going to have a new job or a new position in a company that you work with or for. So that's what a baby represents in a dream. And there's many, many things that dreams represent. And so even though the dream is one thing, it may turn and be something else in the actual fact of it happening. Do you know what I'm saying now?
Process? Sure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, in other words, the dream may seem to not have anything to do with what you're talking about, but when you interpret it properly, that's a big thing. How do you teach people to interpret their dreams?
Well, in the first place, the theme is usually to prepare for the new, whatever that change is coming. It's preparing them for that. So what I say to them is it don't make any sense if you're riding on a train and the train is taking you to another place and you haven't moved in 45 years, so you don't plan to move, right? You're going to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
But you're on a train. The dream has got you on a train, and the train is going down the track, and it's going somewhere else. So what does that mean? Does that mean that you're going to go visit somebody? Does it mean that you're going to ride on the train to the end of the trail? What does it mean? Basically, when you have a dream like that, what the dream is telling you, that you're having a change of attitude.
Uh-huh.
That if you have been depressed and sad and miserable, something's going to come along and make you change your attitude. Or if you've been too haughty and, miserable to people, something's going to come mm-hmm. along and change that attitude. Whatever it is, it's going to make a definite degree of a 90-degree
change.
So,
in other words, the trip is more of a spiritual and a mental, emotional trip than a physical one.
Right. It's uh-huh. it's in the mind, and it's going to make a change for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we pray it's a change for the better. Usually it's always a change for the better if it's around still water. If it's in a category of a peaceful surrounding, no wind, no hail, no rain. If there is a storm that brings that change, that's usually a very difficult change, but it's one that is a necessity and must happen. So, there's so many avenues to every dream that the wonderful thing about it is, I've known people that have written dozens of dream books, and I have a dream book in my cabinet I've never published, because this is a very important part of dreams. Every single human being has a different identity to life, and they also walk a different path. They don't all walk the same path. They don't mm-hmm. all see the same. They do not all belong in the same type of a condition. So even though one person dreams that they are traveling rapidly on a train and the train seems to be going nowhere, that may mean that they are in a matter of making a decision to do something, and they have not made the decision, or they have not even tried to make an effort to understand the decision. And where another mm-hmm. person having the same dream, going the same distance, may be looking at a new opportunity, and it's being offered to them, and the dream is telling them that it's coming to them, and if it's a good dream and sunny and nice and everything, then it's going to be a good thing to do.
So, in other words, I think what I'm hearing now is that these dream books that tell you if you see this is going to happen, they're not specific enough that it
they
has
can
to
be because everybody's
to
different.
Each person. So what would mean scary to somebody else might be a challenge and excitement to me.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and it also means that if you're aware and you have a dream that you're aware of, let me tell you about a dream. My sister and I were very young. We lived on the farm in Montana, and it was summertime. And we had, you know, those cellars where you open the door and you go down the steps into the...
Oh, sure. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. We were laying out on the cellar door, her and I. And we were laying there and just looking at the sky, counting the clouds, looking for the animals in the clouds and all that good stuff.
Sure.
She turned to me and she says, you know, someday you're going to live in California and I'm going to visit you there. And I said, oh, I am? She said, yeah, I think you are. And I said, well, someday I'll come and visit you in Montana. And uh-huh. we both laughed, you know, because we were just young kids. I think I was uh-huh. probably 7 or 8, and she was 4 years younger than me, so she was 5. And
My goodness.
She said, "Mom won't like it because you're moving to California." I said, "Well, I'm not going to take her with me. I'm going to leave her home." And she said, "Well, if you leave her home, that means I have to take care of her." I said, "Well, you'll be big enough then." And by golly, all these many years later, this is 80 years later, I did move to California in 1961. Mm-hmm. And I lived in California till 2004, and I now live in Arizona. And my sister married in Montana, and she and her husband have lived in the same house 65 years.
Mm. And I suppose she took care of your mother. Did she take care of your mother?
Right. She took care of my mother.
That?
My dad actually passed away. He came home from work, laid down, and passed away. Nobody took care of Dad. But it was really funny because she did have to take care of my mother.
And she was at 5. But did she have a dream about it, or was it a daydream?
It was a daydream. She was looking in the clouds. And it was a daydream she had. And then later that night when we went to bed, she said, "You know, I like to lay on the ground. I like to lay on the cellar door and dream." I said, "Well, I hope your dream comes true because I'd like to live in California." And I did. I eventually did live in California. So
That's fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. And another thing about a dream, if you have a dream and the dream is reoccurring over and over and over, that dream mm-hmm. is going to become a part of your life. I had a doctor who was a client of mine up until the time he made his transition, and he said from the time he was 19 years old, he had a reoccurring dream. He got his pilot's license. He was a pilot. Mm-hmm. That I was flying directly into a mountain. And I was always flying in the dream right directly into the mountain. And so this dream occurred for him for many, many years. And he was, this was a number of years ago now. I think he was 59 years old, and he was flying. He had a pilot's license, and he flew all over. And he was going to take his... renew his license. He was 59 years old. He was going to renew his license, and his wife was doing dishes. He gave her a kiss, and the guy, the air people were there, and mm-hmm. he waved at him. He ran down. He got on the plane, got in the plane, and mm-hmm. Started it up, and the plane started to circle in the water. So they run right down there and got a hold of the plane, jumped in it. The doors weren't on it. And stopped uh-huh. it, and Phil was dead at the controls. He died right
My
there
goodness.
At the controls. He hit the mountain.
Huh. Isn't that
That's
amazing?
That's where he hit the mountain.
Hmm.
And his wife called me, and she said, when he first married her, he told her, "If anything ever happens to me, you call Ada and just call her and tell her." And mm-hmm. she said, "I will." So about 2 hours, they had brought him up, and they were waiting for a car to take his body in. She called me up, and she told me. And I said, "His dream came true." And she said, "I know. I heard about the dream." And I said, mm-hmm. "I think everybody heard about his constant reoccurring dream." And he mm-hmm. hit the mountain because when the plane started to turn, it turned right into the deck. The deck was
down. When you said that, I got chills. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Very interesting. But right. so that's it. Had he taken your course in dreaming?
Oh,
by
yeah.
any chance?
He took the whole 2-year course in everything, and he was an excellent doctor. He became a chiropractor. He was an excellent doctor. It was unbelievable the people he was able to heal just by looking into their body and knowing where he had to work. It was really excellent. I was very proud of him, and I went, Mark and I went to him until, of course, he was gone. But
sure. Uh-huh.
I work with many, many doctors, and
mm-hmm.
they'll call me up and give me a name, and I'll tell them what I see, and then they'll tell me what they have found, and usually we're right on, spot on. So that's a good thing, too, and that's helpful for them because then they can go ahead and look some more and see what they have to do. So that's
a
good thing.
I kind of feel like we didn't quite finish up with daydreams because that is something that most people who teach and talk about dreams don't cover that, you know.
Well, that's true. And basically, if children are left to daydream, they
mm-hmm.
become extremely successful.
Uh-huh.
You know why? Because they have opened up their energy pattern to receiving, and they do receive and become enamored or enthralled with the type of lifestyle or the type of work that they are supposed to do. And that comes from daydreaming. One little boy was 4 years old. He said, "When I grow up, I'm going to be a fireman." And I said, "Oh, that's good. How do you know that?" He says, "Grandma, I'll tell you how I know. I see myself with a fire captain's hat on and a big, long red fire truck, and we're headed for a fire to save some people."
Uh-huh.
He was 4 years old. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He got out of high school and he went. Okay. And when he was 22, he became a fireman.
Uh-huh.
So,
uh-huh. Did he become a chief?
He did become a chief. He moved to a different town. And after
uh-huh.
being a fireman for about, I think, 8 years, he was chosen to be the chief. He is still the fire chief.
How about
funny.
That?
And
that's amazing. So if you work with children and believe in them and help them to believe in themselves,
to help them to get their dream to come true,
miracles can happen, can't they?
Oh my goodness, you have no idea. I have a girl who wanted to be a doctor. And
mm-hmm.
she kept dreaming about looking at x-rays, thinking that when she grew up, she would be a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she did become a doctor, but she didn't become a doctor to treat people. She became some kind of ologist that could read x-rays better than anybody. And,
uh-huh.
and the real problem was that when she was dreaming about reading x-rays, she would read the x-rays and then she would tell her mother what she saw in them. And then later on, somebody would have a surgery, and it would have something to do with the kind of x-ray that she was reading. It was really odd. But
now you're bringing up something that we call
a... became a doctor.
Yeah, you bring up something else that we call prescient dreams, where you dream something, and then it comes true later.
Right. They're prophetic, yeah.
Yeah,
And they do come true later if the mm-hmm. time is and everything is correct so it can happen, you know.
Mm-hmm. I see.
The wonderful thing is everybody should have a dream book. Everybody should have a dream book. And when they remember the dream, you don't always remember all your dreams. You should write down the part of the dream you remember, the date, and the time of the night if you remember it, and keep that
uh-huh.
book, and over a period of years you will see how that those dreams came in some manner or form to find their way into your life. That's a very important thing. I had about 15 dream books or 20 in a box, and my husband, when we moved to Arizona, took them to the dump. So there went my dreams. But
my goodness.
That's okay. I got two more going now.
So, okay.
Yeah.
so you practice what you preach. You dream.
I do.
You really work with your own dreams.
I do work with my own dreams, and when I see something that needs to be fixed, and by that I mean when I have a dream that looks like there's got negative components in it, I immediately sit down and I immediately have a chat with God, and I immediately, this is not acceptable, and I'm not going to let this happen. So I need your assistance to see to it that it is corrected and everybody involved is perfectly safe and fine, and it'll come. And I have a number of clients in the New York and New Jersey area looking for work. And they will call me up and I'll say, it's not acceptable. I see you on the job. I see you with a perfect job, working with wonderful people, close to home. You're not having to commute a long way. And you have a good company that is going to keep you working for a lot of years. And I have a man who is the head of a lawyer's, law firm all over the world. And he's been there now for, my God, 30 years. And I saw that, and I told him. And he, when he found a company he wanted to work for, he called me up, and I helped him. And I zapped him, and he got the job, and he's still in it. So that's a good thing.
And did you dream about that?
I had a daydream about it because I saw him going up the steps, a great big long row of steps, and it went up quite high, like 20 steps or so, to the level where you could go through the door. And I saw him running up those steps every day. And it was every day he ran up those steps, and that's the job he got, and that's the kind of a building he's in New York, Manhattan. So, yeah, I had a daydream after I met him and talked to him on the phone and met him through the phone and had the reading. And then later I had this daydream of him running up these steps, and I called him up and asked him after he got the job. Mm-hmm. I described it, and he said, yeah, that's exactly what kind of a building I'm in.
Uh-huh.
So there we were,
There you go.
It was amazing. So anybody can do anything, that they want to. If they choose, if they stay positive, if they hold a high opinion of themselves and feel that they are worthy and that they can, in fact, conquer whatever they choose to conquer in the world, they can do it. But they have to work at it. It doesn't come without effort. Everything comes with an effort, Mary.
This is
and
true.
And effort has to be extended.
I never thought of dreaming as work.
Yeah.
Never thought of dreaming as work. But I can see if you learn how to work with your dreams, it makes a little bit of sense.
Right. And if you work with your dreams, your dreams will stand you in good stead because it will keep you from doing something that you shouldn't do. Like I know a man who had been with a very big company for many, many years, and he got an option, quote unquote, to go to this other company. I said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. He said, well, it's more money and blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, it's your call. But if I were you, I'd stay where I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, he said, okay. He said, if that's what you think, that's okay. But I think I'm going to go because it's more money and it's this and it's that. And I said, yes. And there are some, there's some things there that you're not going to be comfortable with. So do it's your call. You're just asking. I'm just telling the fella, just do what you want to do. And he did.
Did he have any dreams?
No, he hadn't had any
dreams about it.
But he got the job, and he had a dream. And sure enough, in 6 months, he was out of a job.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
what kind of dream did he have?
After he got the job. The job was telling him that he was walking down the street looking for work.
Oh, really? Uh-huh.
That's what the dream was about. And he just had the job like 2 or 3 weeks when he had that dream.
Huh.
And sure enough, in 3 months, he was looking for a job. He should have stayed where he was.
So did he have any further dreams that helped him to
he's had a lot of dreams since, but like he says, I got my lesson. I learned my lesson. Mm. Uh-huh. And he said, now when I have a dream, I take it to the table and I write it down and I look at it as if it was a client of mine bringing me their information for me to help them with. Uh-huh. And that's how he changed his attitude. And finally, after a year, got back to a good job.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We have someone here. It seems like she would like to ask a question. Let's see. Are you ready to take a question?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good. Okay. Hello? Hello?
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah.
Question?
Hello?
My name is Candy. Yes, hello? Do you hear me?
Yeah, hi. Yes.
Hi, Mary. This is Candy, and I have a question for Ada Marie, please.
Mm-hmm. Ask your question.
Sometimes when I dream, I'll wake up, and, you know, to go to the bathroom. I'll come back to bed, and I go back into the dream.
Right. I've done that many times myself. Yes.
Why is that so? I mean, it's like it happens quite frequently now that I'm older, I notice. And,
well, do you write your dreams down and follow them?
No, but I'm going to start doing that because I was listening to, you know, the show, and I'm going to do that from now on.
Yeah. They usually, when you have we call that a continuous dream, there is something there, if you write it down and look at it, that will help you to move forward in a more positive, actually good manner.
Oh, okay. Because it was frightening me. I was saying, what in the heck is wrong with me that I keep going back to the same dream?
Is it a negative dream?
No, but it's a dream where I'm always like going somewhere. I'm packing to go somewhere.
Okay.
It's similar.
Okay, so you're packing to go somewhere. So now let me explain to you what that dream is telling you. You mentally have got some learning to do, either for the position you're in and the job you have now to better it, or to prepare yourself to go into something bigger and better.
Okay. All right, that does make sense.
Yeah, take a look at your books. You're packing. You're packing the books. You better take a look at them before you pack them. You might have to read them.
Okay. In other words, she's not moving physically. She's moving up mentally and emotionally, maybe.
Right.
Is that right?
Right, yes, that is correct. You are. Now listen, honey. This is funny because this is like a reoccurring dream for you, correct?
Yes.
Okay. How many years have you dreamed this?
Oh, maybe just the past 6 months to a year.
Okay, then if you look into where you are now, your position, and the opportunities around that, and then look at the dream to see which direction the dream is telling you to move. Do you see?
Okay. All right. Well, I'll become more conscious of it and write it down. I'll keep a pad at my bed so I can write it down right away because I'll keep track of them.
Have you been studying something?
Huh?
Have you been studying something, preparing yourself to do something?
Well, yes, I was attending classes a couple of months ago, and I succeeded in that. But now I'm looking to attend classes for something else to widen my, you know, my knowledge and keep my brain active.
Okay.
So, all right. Well, thank you very much, Ada Marie. I appreciate it. Thank you,
well,
Mary.
Well, you're welcome, and you have a wonderful week, okay?
Thank you. You too. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
That's wonderful. That's so interesting that you saw that she's She's preparing herself for something bigger. That's fascinating.
Right, she is. That's what the dream is telling her.
Uh-huh.
So that's a good thing. That's a positive
very,
thing.
Very good. Very nice dream, huh?
Yeah, it was. It was a very good dream, yes.
Mm-hmm. So in your classes, are there people sometimes that have never remembered dreams that learn how to do that?
Yeah, there are. And the reason they don't remember them basically is because they sleep so hard that the dream comes and goes.
Uh-huh.
So their sleep pattern is very deep.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't come out of it, so they don't remember it. If they doubled
uh-huh.
up their fists on their left hand when they were dreaming, they would remember the dream.
Oh, how interesting.
If you double
you know,
up your fist when you're getting a message from somebody, you will remember
uh-huh.
it. That's
uh-huh.
a very important. That's a very important thing. But it's the left hand that remembers things. It's the right hand that releases them.
I see. Uh-huh.
So that's a good
thing.
So
if you go to sleep with you make a fist of your left hand, it means that it will help you to remember your dreams?
It will help, yes, by all means. Yes.
I've wondered sometimes if I go so far out in my dreams that I go into abstract things that I couldn't even describe in by earth terms.
And have you had those kind of dreams that are so abstract?
I've come back and I know I was somewhere, but I can't even describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And once I woke up and I saw myself coming in the I was coming in the window and it was raining outside, and I was coming back in the window to get back in my body. It was very strange, you know. And
wasn't
of course,
strange
then I,
at all. It meant that you had had a baptism.
Really?
Did you ever dream you were rolling, you were playing in and out the windows and rolling around the thing in the middle of the windows, that bar?
No, never did that. Well, this was like I was coming back to my body. I'd left it and I was coming back.
Yeah.
And the rain woke me up.
Because it washed you clean so you could get back in your body.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's important.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Right.
Hmm. So there you think that we were doing something that I was doing something that I needed to
cleanse from.
I needed to cleanse from, really, that I was in.
Either you were in a bad situation or you had been badly harmed by somebody or something, or someone was continuously badgering you.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
And if you had that kind of a dream, then when you came back, if it was going to be ended, you would naturally you'd have a bath, so to speak. And the
uh-huh.
rain was gentle, and it just made you wet.
I see. But it was actually raining outside at the time.
Well, it probably. But you dreamed that it was falling on you.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a pretty amazing dream.
I would say so. I'd say it's pretty accurate.
Uh-huh.
Because things changed after that, didn't they?
I think it was sometime later I moved.
Mm-hmm.
I moved from where I had been living to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
But it might have been that I had to let go of some of the things that were holding me there.
I'm sure you got to let go of a lot of them.
Yeah.
So
okay.
that would account for that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when I would love to hear about some more of the dreams, the experiences that the people in your classes had. That was very fascinating.
It was fascinating, and it was very wonderful. And very often they were willing to come excitedly in to share a dream to see if they interpreted it correctly.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
Now, let me tell you about interpreting your dream. You have to remember that you put yourself in the third person to interpret your dream. And then you
right.
look at yourself like you were that third person, you're going to be the third person. But then interpret the dream as if it was that person, not you, the third person
uh-huh.
of you.
Uh-huh.
And if you do that, there will be quite a bit of accuracy maintained or sustained in the dream.
Uh-huh. I see.
You don't dream about it because it was you. You dream about it because it was coming through you, and you're going to
uh-huh.
listen to the part, and you're going to see it as something coming through you, to you. You're receiving, in other words, and you're
mm-hmm.
receiving through your ability to produce the dream that would give you the insight.
So that takes your personal ego out of it.
Correct.
So when you think of it as if someone else came to you with a dream like that, what would it mean?
It would mean the same thing for them.
Yeah.
That they
uh-huh.
were preparing to produce whatever it is that the dream is giving them into a
mm-hmm.
positive manner if it was constructive. And most of the time, you don't have very many dreams that are not constructive. And the whole years and years of dreaming, I'd say less than 10% of your dreams are bad dreams.
Mm-hmm.
They're not constructive. People hurting each other or doing something or a landslide
mm-hmm.
or a flood or something. Those dreams they're not so profound because your dream pattern, if you're a working and a positive person, are going to be on a constructive level.
Mm-hmm.
And they will pull you out like, okay, I had a lady who came to class after she'd been very, very ill. She had a condition that was very debilitating and hard to come out of. And she left the medical profession and went seeking outer healing. And she was able, through the aid of an acupuncture and a chiropractor, bring her life back to, and it took about 4 years, bring her life back to where she was functioning again and perfectly healthy and working well. And her dream was, now this is going to shock you, her dream was sitting in the middle of an onion patch eating onions.
Oh, really?
And she had that dream for about 3 or 4 months. And the doctors were giving her medication and stuff, you know, and she had very little choice because it was debilitating. Her legs weren't working well, and she kept dreaming that she was sitting in the middle of an onion patch eating onions.
Huh.
Now, onions are very, they make your eyes water, and they're very, very, the juice of them is not good. It's very caustic, all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
But after having that dream for several months, she brought that dream to her, her therapist.
Uh-huh.
And the dream therapist looked at her and said, I have to tell you something. And you know, this is not according to what I've been taught, but this is something uh-huh. I'm seeing. I'm going to tell you. You're walking down the wrong path. You've got to get off uh-huh. of that path because that path is going nowhere for you.
Uh-huh.
And she said, what? She said, you're on the wrong path. You've got
mm-hmm.
to change your path. She said, well, what do you mean? She said, you're eating onions. Onions burn your eyes. They hurt your throat. they're making you sick. You're on the wrong path. Well, she says, what do you think I should do? She said, well, the first thing I think you ought to do is eat something else, apples, oranges, peaches, anything but onions.
Uh-huh.
And of course, they both started laughing. And the lady said, what you're telling me is I need to change the way I'm being treated. The doctors are not treating me for what I need. And she said, well, that could be true, too. So she went to her aunt, who was some kind of a healer. And the aunt said to her, she said, well, everything you're taking is just taking you to your deathbed. So she said, well, what should I do? And her aunt gave her some things to do, and she started working on her aunt's formula, quit going to the doctor, and inside of 6 months, she was well again.
Mm-hmm.
Took six
well,
months.
You know, it, of course, when my first reaction was that onions have an antibiotic, a natural antibiotic. Yeah.
They do. I know they do, but the dream was telling her she had to change that path because
right.
she was on
right.
antibiotics of some sort,
uh-huh.
and they weren't doing her any good.
Uh-huh.
So she went back to some kind of a natural, I don't know who she went to because I don't know the person at all, but she went to some nature path or,
uh-huh.
yeah, nature
yeah.
path.
Nature
and
path, yeah.
they worked with her, and in 6 months she was well. So that was, and then she came to class. In fact, they sent her to the class, and she came to the class, and she shared with the people in the class how sick she had been and how the medicine the doctors gave her was making her worse and worse and worse, and she kept having this dream about eating onions, sitting in an onion patch. And, of course, everybody laughed. I said, well, listen, what are onions? Onions and garlic are natural antibiotics.
Yeah.
And the onion patch meant she had to change the way she was doing with the chemicals and go to a natural healing.
Yeah.
And she did.
That made perfect
well.
Sense. Yeah, that's great.
But see, she did not know that onions were a natural antibiotic.
Uh-huh.
Because she didn't know about that.
Sure. Of course not.
So,
most people don't.
Yeah, most people don't know. If they just did a little studying, they wouldn't take long. They'd find out about all that stuff. You know?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. So is there anything that you could suggest to help people to get better in touch with their dreams?
Well, the only way you can get in touch with them is to write them down and read them and look at them as you were looking at a third party and then seeing what comes to you that could help you through that third party, through that reading, to help yourself.
Well, suppose you don't have, can't remember
now,
any dreams. Is there
well, a lot
way
of people
that you
can't
can...
remember their dreams because they're fairly well balanced and they don't need dreams are to balance your system and balance you as an individual. Now, a lot of people don't dream until they have a stroke or a heart attack or some serious health problem. And then after that, they'll begin to dream.
That's interesting.
And when they dream, they're always dreaming about something they don't understand. Like, you know, walking or they're in a wheelchair and they're dreaming about walking, right?
Uh-huh.
So that means that inside of their body is the ability, if they can work with the ability, to get themselves up. But people get really sad. Believe me, people get sad. And when they get sad and depressed, that's the most dangerous thing that can happen to them. The minute
Absolutely.
They think they're going to get depressed, they got to grab a hold of that thing and toss it out and put something funny in the works. You know, like the lady who said to me, I'll tell you, the lady said to me in the nursery, I had a nursery of babies up to 5 years of age, and she said, I don't see your license on the wall. I said, honey, did you ever see a license change a diaper?
What did she say?
She looked at me and she said, I guess you're right. I said, I've been changing diapers since I was 10 years old, and I never did see a license hanging on the wall. But, you know, that's all. Some people have degrees sticking out of their ears, and they can't get a job because they're overqualified. Now,
yeah.
What kind of ridiculous thing is that?
Yeah,
are they
yeah.
willing to work? I know a lot of overqualified people who don't want to work, who are lazy.
Mm.
The thing you need
and
to know about the person you're hiring, how good of a worker are they? And where does it say on anything that you fill out, are you willing to work? Does it say that anywhere? No.
Not any job I ever applied for.
What?
Job I ever applied for. Did they ask,
right.
was I willing to work?
Right, see? And
yeah.
whenever I went to get a job, I would say, I can work with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I can work with big people, little people, happy people, sad people, miserable people, bosses that scream and yell. I can work. I'm willing to work. I have no problem with working. Just show me what to do.
Uh-huh.
And believe me, when raising all the kids I had to raise, I had to work. And oftentimes I worked more than one job a week, you know. I mean, I worked like two or three, and I did the best I could do. And it was work. I made it happy. My dad said, you better enjoy what you're doing because you may have to do it for 40 years. And
mm-hmm.
then he would say on the next stand, well, if you lost that job, you were looking for one, and you'd be looking for another one. So he was always positive. He would think very positive about everything. He would
uh-huh.
think, well, okay, the sun's shining today. Well, let's hope we get a little rain tomorrow so everything can grow. And if it was
uh-huh.
raining, he'd say, this is just wonderful. We need this rain, and we can't wait for the sunshine to come out. He never, ever found fault with either one.
Uh-huh.
So, he was funny. My dad was a little funny. He kept us kids in stitches. And laughter is the best medicine. Sleep and laughter. Those two
mm-hmm.
things can heal just about anything. If you will remember that when you feel downhearted, just look at somebody or think of somebody worse off than you are, and then thank God for the amount of health and opportunity that you have. Because
mm-hmm.
in doing so, you are not only helping yourself, you are helping somebody else, whoever you thought of, that's in worse shape than you are.
Right. Well, now, as for the dreams.
Yeah.
What about nonsense dreams? Are there dreams that are just...
They're usually food, Mary. There's a lot of those, mm-hmm. and they're usually food dreams. They come from the food you eat before you go to bed.
Okay.
A lot of times people call me up and give me this crazy dream, and I'll say, that's a food dream. And they'll look at me and say, I had lasagna last night. Or something, you know.
Okay.
A lot of those dreams, Mary, are food dreams. They come from the food that people have eaten and gone to bed late. And, of course, that's going to be what the dream is about.
How can you tell the difference?
By what they say.
Their
dreams don't make sense.
Oh, okay.
Their dreams don't make sense. I mean, I'll say, okay, what did you eat last night?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll start to laugh. And then they'll tell me, and I'll say, well, it's a food dream.
Okay.
I get a lot of dream calls.
But you might say that riding on a train going nowhere was a silly dream.
It
so,
wasn't a silly dream. It was not a silly dream. The dream
mm-hmm.
was that she had not made a decision and started to do something to go somewhere. The dream was telling her to take a hold and make a decision to go somewhere,
mm-hmm.
to do something. In other words, go to school, get a training, or take a job that you are good at and stay with that job.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know,
but
it depends on the person.
So when you're dreaming, Now, is there anything that you can do right before you go to sleep that will help you to say you have a problem?
Yeah,
is there any way that you can ask for a dream?
You should have something to offer up when you go to bed at night and get ready to go to sleep. I'll say, okay, Father, now you take over. I'm going to sleep. When I wake up,
okay,
you can hand it back to me already solved. It's simple.
Uh-huh.
Well, he don't usually always give it to me completely solved, but it is changed quite considerably, and I can figure out how to go from there.
I see.
You know, part of the thing about dreaming and part of the thing about situations is they're there to teach us something.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to teach us how lucky we are or how to fix something so we can remain lucky and happy and healthy. I mean, they're not there to terrorize you. They're there to help you. You know, just they're there.
Uh-huh.
1 week before my stabbing, I was awakened from a dream, and I was running around the house, and somebody was chasing me with a butcher knife, and I was running around the house trying to grab, and just as I grabbed the telephone, I woke up.
Hmm.
And 7 days later, there was a man in my house, and he awakened me trying to stab me on the couch. And I jumped up, and we had a fight, needless to say.
Uh-huh.
I won. I'm still here.
I guess you did, because you're still here. That's
yeah.
for sure. So
but
that so
what,
you actually had a dream before. Yeah.
Exactly 7 days before.
Uh-huh.
7 days before I had a dream about being stabbed and killed.
I see. Yeah.
And then, of course, they picked me up, took me to the hospital, and I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the hospital 30 days, and I had a lot of damage, Mary.
So you made it to the telephone?
I still have to work with it.
So you made it to the telephone?
My daughter woke up and called 911, and they came and picked me up and took me in, and they worked 65 hours on me.
My goodness.
And to keep me alive, and... like the doctor said, he said we had four different doctors, but Dr. Marsh stayed with me the full time. So I'm going to tell you, not 65. I did 65 pints of blood. I didn't stay under the surgery 65 hours. I was under the surgery 16 and a half hours.
Okay.
I got that.
So you had the dream 1 week before. In for seven days
before that. So what I did was I was real careful to take everything that we might get hurt on and put it away and not have it in the kitchen or anywhere where anybody could find it. And then before the children went to bed, the little ones, I gave them each a piece of an apple. I cut an apple up in pieces, and I laid the paring knife on the table, on the counter. And I got the kids in bed, and I sat down to drink a glass of water. I was just exhausted, and I laid down on the couch, and it was that paring knife I got stabbed with.
Oh, shoot. My goodness.
Mind you, after all the care I'd taken all week not to let it happen, because my grandmother had come and pulled a black veil from my face. And she had come to me, and I sat up, and I looked at her, and she just looked at me, her little blue eyes, her thumb over her third eye, and her little blue eyes just looking right at me. And I knew one more time, Mary, that I would walk with death. I had seen that dream. That was the third time. So I know what that dream means when somebody pulls a black veil or a black veil comes over their face. It usually means that they're going to transcend very shortly. Get your affairs in order if that happens. That dream is telling you to prepare. And I've seen that dream three times. So I know when I saw it, when Grandma pulled it off my face, I knew I was going to walk that path and that I yet, although she pulled it from me, I would live. What I would be like, I didn't know because I had no idea what was going to happen.
So... Well, you when you so with the dream, if the veil had stayed on your face,
I hadn't eaten anything.
Yeah, if the veil had stayed on your face, you would not have lived. Do you think?
That's correct. I would have made
okay.
my way back home.
Got
I would have
it.
Been back
okay.
in that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful world.
Okay. Well, this has been absolutely fascinating. I just wonder if you had say about 2 or 3 minutes to talk with people about the seriousness and the importance of dreaming, what would you say to them?
I would say if you do recall your dream, write it down in a notebook, and then after you've had time to sit with it quietly after a day's work, read it over and see if you can figure out exactly the direction it's sending you. And I would highly recommend that they keep track of their dreams and keep a book. And they don't have to share them with anybody. That's up to them if they choose to do that. And that's what I told my students in the class. If you do not want to share a dream, don't share it. Keep it in your own silent place.
And
remember, silence
is
golden.
Okay. Do you think that keeping it to yourself will help, or if you know somebody whom you trust, it would make a difference?
No. I believe that if it is given to you, it is yours, and your choice to do as you please, but I recommend highly that if the dream has a real meaning to you, that it hits your heart, do not share
mm-hmm.
it.
You
know, I don't think you should do that. Are we coming to the end of the day?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Well, listen.
we have less than 3 minutes left.
Okay. If anybody has a dream that they cannot understand and they want to call, they can call me at 520-896-9510. Or they can email me at adamarie@thegoldenoracle.com. And you can do that. I can be found real easily on the internet, I was told.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, I want everybody to know that your dream is an important part of your life.
Mm-hmm. So what is your charge for interpreting dreams?
It depends on. It's $50 for 20 minutes or a half hour. It usually runs by the time I get their name and address and credit card. It usually runs for a half hour. But it's about 20 minutes it takes.
Uh-huh.
So they're willing to call and set an appointment because a lot of times, you know, I'm on the phone, as you know, and they have to leave a name and set an appointment. Okay, or call back and set an appointment.
Uh-huh, very good.
Yeah.
So you do offer this service. And
yeah, I do.
I'm sure you've saved people's lives
over
the years.
Well, we've saved a few over the years. Yes, we have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it's at. But I'm happy to help you if you want to have help. Just let me know.
Okay. Would you give your telephone number one more time?
Surely. 520-896-9510. And I live in Arizona, so Arizona doesn't change its time. So right now in Arizona, we are at 4:29 or 4:30, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're what, at 9:30?
Mary? Oh my goodness! It's 7:30 right now,
okay.
New York time, and what hours of the day can they call you?
Between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. and between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. I'm sorry.
which would be 9 a.m. New York time.
Yeah.
And it would be 5 a.m. California time, I guess it would be.
Right.
Right. My goodness. Okay. No, it would be 8 p.m. 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. New York time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So this is wonderful. Thank you so much, and we really appreciate everything that you have given us.
Well,
and
thank you. I've appreciated working with you. I love working with you, Mary. It's just very, very interesting and helpful.
Great. Well, to our listeners, love and light.
And God bless them all. Bye-bye.
There you go. Bye. Well, that was a good call. Okay.